Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of TMT Talk, Baker McKenzie's global TMT podcast designed to help clients navigate and prioritize risks via insights from our top legal advisors in strategic technology markets. My name is Teresa Michaud, and I'm a partner in the disputes team for Baker, based in Los Angeles and Silicon Valley. I lead our North American class action practice, and I'm on the steering committee for our global technology, media, and telecom industry group, leading the interactive entertainment sector. The interactive entertainment sector in particular has experienced rapid growth since the beginning of 2021 with record M&A and deal values. These were actually very quickly eclipsed by even higher deals values in the beginning of 2022. On this note, today we've invited our experts to discuss key developments that defined the M&A and investment market in these last few months and the possible outlook they see for the transactional activity in the IE sector. This and other key areas relevant to the interactive entertainment sector are discussed in Report 3 of our edition of Looking Ahead. That publication will be available both on our website and also in the email with this recording. So with that, it is my great pleasure to introduce our speakers. First, let me introduce you all to Tino Mars, who's an attorney in the corporate department of Baker & McKenzie's Munich office. Tino advises clients with planning and implementing multi-jurisdictional and domestic mergers and acquisitions, and also corporate reorganizations. His practice has a particular focus on transactions in the interactive entertainment sector. Also with us today is Lisa Fontenot, who's a partner in Baker McKenzie's Silicon Valley office with me. She's advised clients on mergers and acquisitions and securities transactions for over 25 years. Is ranked as a leading attorney in the corporate law and mergers and acquisitions law categories of the best lawyers in America, and is also shortlisted for the Media and Entertainment Lawyer of the Year by Euromoney Women in Business Law Award. So congratulations, Lisa, and also welcome to both Tina and Lisa. So let me kick off our discussion today by asking you about some of the things I mentioned just now. So earlier this year in our report on interactive entertainment and metaverses, you predicted that the interactive entertainment sector will face continued high levels of transactional activity. So can you describe for our audience how the M&A and investment market has developed extremely quickly in the last few months? And maybe Lisa, I'll turn to you first.
Great. Thank you, Teresa, and good to be here. As you mentioned, our published report highlighted the significant transactional activity in 2021 that was soon eclipsed by early Q1 2022 activity in terms of deal value, exceeding overall 2021 deal value with a third of the transactions completed just in the first quarter of this year. Now, the transaction values do reflect mega deals, as well as a high volume of consolidation across PC console, mobile, and esports, with some of these transactions being driven by platform diversification. We've also seen a fair amount of convergence of media and entertainment interests, and as well, geographic expansion executed through investment and M&A activity. Since the first quarter, the landscape at a macroeconomic level has changed somewhat. The first quarter earnings season that we witnessed, video game companies delivered, at best, mixed news. Stock market volatility has driven down listed companies' pricing significantly since November highs, and that's driven some potential transaction activity among public companies. Some companies have publicly disclosed they're evaluating strategic options. Others are rumored to be fielding interest for potential acquisition. On the private side, despite the consolidation activity in the last couple of years, the gaming market's still highly fragmented. So we expect consolidation to continue to be active in 2022, driven by the convergence that we referenced in our report, particularly the continued hunt for talent to create immersive experiences, compelling games with features driving further user engagement. And we think given the economic pressures, public acquirers are going to be looking for earnings accretive acquisitions. But as always, they'll be looking to add great talent and IP to their portfolios. And if you move aside 2021 in particular, valuations in the sector remain fairly attractive versus longer-term historical levels. And this could justify further consolidation in the market.
So Lisa, thank you very much for that. Obviously from our perspective, both sitting in Silicon Valley, it certainly feels like there's quite a bit of activity going on here. So I'll turn to Tino and ask you, since you're sitting in Europe, Tino, from your perspective, do you see a geographic center to all of this activity?
Thank you, Teresa, and also thank you for having me on this episode. So we actually noticed that there is no real geographic center when it comes to the consolidation. Actually, it's further east because Asia-Pacific is anticipated to hold the largest market share in the gaming industry, with China, Japan, South Korea showing high potential for market growth. China is also one of Asia's most important economies, with increasing technological usage. And significant drivers for the growth in Asia include esports and the ongoing innovation in new games and consoles. We notice, however, also that Africa is becoming an important player. The growth rates in Africa are currently higher than in many other regions in the world. Just to add on our report, where we said that also private equity and venture capital investments will remain strong, we noticed that the value of deals has declined significantly in the recent months as large investors shift their focus to writing rather smaller checks at early stages. And this could actually be seen as a growing skepticism among large and late stage investors that could have ripple effects in the venture capital ecosystem. However, that said, several VCs have recently announced $400 million and even higher funds, which are focused on gaming and having a focus on NFT and blockchain. We still expect that the data for the second quarter of this year may show further retraction from the peak activity levels, which were reported over the fourth quarter of 21 and also the first quarter of 22. However, we would expect continued deployment of capital in the Web3 and Metaverse space, and dedicated funds in this space are likely to help drive the growth opportunities over the next several years.
Yeah, as Tino referenced, there's significant dry powder that's been or is being accumulated to be deployed for Web3 applications. We've seen a lot of activity as players move towards tokenization and blockchain gaming, which is driving additional investments in M&A. And the key catalyst here is the race for the meta economy participation, where the virtual gaming landscape has elements that parallel in real life economic factors. So the entertainment platforms are leading this next generation reset of the infrastructure of the internet, and we expect that to continue to require a significant level of investment and pose opportunistic transactional experiences of serial acquirers and also out of category players. And we expect blockchain investments to continue to ramp. The initial wave of deals has already occurred. This is fuel for further gaming developments and investments. In 2021, we saw a significant increase in the level of in-game asset values, and we expect that to continue to grow in 2022. We're also seeing a fair level of activity across the real money gaming and non-real money gaming areas in this convergence trends, showing different kinds of games and different technologies being increasingly used in the real money gaming sector, which is a significant development driving additional transaction opportunity. Tino, did you have anything to add on that?
Yes, Lisa, you're fully right. Gamers in the past and also now use streaming platforms such as Twitch and YouTube to capitalize on doing what they love, i.e. playing the games. And developers have noticed this and implemented the concept of capitalization into the games themselves by incorporating play-to-earn mechanisms in their newly released games. But still, this area is far from being developed, and we expect to see a lot of activity happening here in the future.
Great. So for that activity that we expect to be coming, could the two of you also talk about the headwinds in the transaction activity for the IE sector and how do they impact your outlook?
Absolutely. As I mentioned before, macroeconomics are a factor that can't be wholly ignored. And the recent activity in terms of stimulus monetary policy have triggered some revaluation of assets and clearly a change in the cost of capital across industries. This is not limited to interactive entertainment or tech writ more broadly. But after a record years in terms of exits, you know, valuations are coming down a bit. It's a mixed bag. And IPOs that occurred in 2021 have of VC-backed companies have not performed as well as have been hoped. There's also been reported very recently, actually a dislocation between the performance from a financial level and investor sentiment. And concerns about stagflation are amplified relative to the actual volatility of performance of companies' stocks. So we're starting to see late stage valuations decline relative to 2021. This may increase in this new climate. That being said, we're seeing very significant levels of capital investment over the last few years, and that should help startups extend their runways. It may, though, also force some independents to seek a merger partner to fund greater growth as those capital needs grow. And the public markets volatility that's pressuring valuations, it's still healthy relative to prior periods, looking prior to 2020-2021 for financings. Although we're seeing more pressure in the late stage deals, we are not seeing that at all or yet for the earlier stage companies. And when you consider the countervailing circumstances in gaming, you know, the pandemic era witnessed the creation of a lot of future building blocks. There's a significant amount of innovation that's occurred and changes in business models that we expect to continue to drive deal flow to good levels of activity in 2022 second half.
Yeah, and on top of the market volatility, we see pressure also coming from a regulatory perspective. So data protection authorities, for example, have put gaming companies under a heightened scrutiny. And this affects, in our view, in particular, hyper-casual and casual mobile games, which transfer data to create revenues by showing, for example, personalized advertisements to the players. Also in the EU, several data protection authorities now calculate fines for data privacy incompliances based on the revenues of the investor or the buyer group, and not only the target, which results in buyers, investors having to carefully review the data privacy situation at their targets. Secondly, we experience an increased protectionism from a foreign investment perspective. We see that restrictions are imposed by foreign investment authorities, which, for example, may prohibit the transfer of personal data from the target to the buyer or the exercise of influence on the target by the buyer. In a nutshell, a lot is moving in this regulatory field, and investors need to closely observe the decisions that are made by the regulatory authorities in the future.
In general, economic uncertainty, coupled with war and other political tensions, an uncertain regulatory environment in a sector doesn't drive confidence that supports intense transactional activity. As we've mentioned recently, there's been heightened scrutiny in certain practical areas for gaming companies, and we're looking at an uncertain regulatory environment for digital assets and cryptocurrencies. With this backdrop, getting to closing may likely depend on companies having a greater risk tolerance on the buy side or investor side than was the case in the recent past, but we expect deals will continue to get done to take advantage of the remarkable technologies that are being developed and will be deployed in the interactive entertainment sector.
Well, great. Thank you, Lisa, and thank you, Tino. This has been an extremely helpful and pretty exciting topic to discuss, I think, for the interactive entertainment industry, and we're very appreciative for both of you to share all of this knowledge with us and the audience. For those of you who want more information, Lisa and Tino's contact info will be available, and also the report that we mentioned throughout this podcast, which is report 3 of our interactive entertainment series, Looking Ahead. So with that, I want to thank you both again for joining and thank our audience for listening in. And we look forward to seeing or hearing or hosting all of you on our next TMT Talk podcast. Thank you.